137, the book of Psalms. If you need a Bible, there's some Bibles in the pew, the black-backed Bibles. And we're going to actually be turning a few different places this morning. But the Sunday school lesson sort of went right along with what the Lord's laid on my heart to preach today. But Psalms 137, and we're just going to read one verse. It's a short chapter, but we're just going to read one verse, and we'll say a little bit more about it. Psalms chapter 137, verse number 7. The Bible said, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, raise it even to the foundation thereof." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today and all the many blessings that you've given to us. Thank you for each one that's been able to come to church today. We're thankful, Lord, that you've given us the health and the strength for that. Lord, we're thankful for this Independence Day weekend and the freedoms and liberties that we have as Americans. Lord, I'm thankful for our nation. I'm thankful for our unique history and heritage that you blessed us with. Dear Lord, we pray and ask for your mercy, your guidance, your blessings in the days ahead. We pray, Lord, that you would give revival in our nation. Lord, we're so far away from where we have been in the past. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd help churches and pastors all across this land that are trying to make a difference. Lord, I pray you'd give us courage. I pray you'd give us grace in these last days. I pray you'd help today in the preaching of thy word. I pray for liberty. I pray for unction. And I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, if there be one here today among us that's lost, I pray you'd show them their great need of salvation. And Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read verse number 7 one more time. And the Bible said again, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it even to the foundation thereof." And Psalms 137, this chapter, is a song of the captivity and what had taken place by this time. Jerusalem had been conquered by their enemies, the Babylonians. The walls of Jerusalem had been torn down. The temple had been destroyed. The nation had been looted of all of its national treasure. And the people had now been carried away into captivity. They lived in a strange land among a strange people. And the Bible says in verse number 1, it sort of explains it there. If we look back in verse number 1, the Bible said, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." And so they had already been carried away into captivity, no longer in their homeland, and their nation had been destroyed. Now, Jerusalem and America are not one and the same in the Bible, but there are many similarities between what happened to the nation of Israel and the history of America. And one of the reasons why there are so many similarities is because of our Judeo-Christian heritage as a nation. We have a nation that was built and founded upon the Word of God. And when the pilgrims came here, they likened themselves unto the children of Israel, looking for a new place to worship. And they believed that God had delivered them and blessed them and allowed them to come to this land so that they could have religious freedom. And many times in the writings of the pilgrims, they likened themselves unto strangers and pilgrims that sought for a city whose builder and maker is God. So there's a great many comparisons between Israel and America. Somebody said, and you've probably seen bumper stickers, that you cannot spell Jerusalem without USA. Jerusalem. I've seen bumper stickers and t-shirts and things that have pointed that out. As far as modern day Israel is concerned, our nation definitely had a good hand in the reestablishment of Israel as a nation. I mean, our nation was on board, and our nation was the first nation to respond to Israel, to give our blessing and our encouragement. And so there's a lot of ways that you could tie in the nation of Israel and the nation of America. But on this July 4th weekend, Independence Day weekend, I want to preach and point out some similarities between the two. Now, in verse number 7, this tells us about the children of Edom, the Edomites. And I want you to notice what the Edomites said in verse number 7. "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof." And basically what the Edomites said about Jerusalem when they said, raise it, notice that's not R-A-I-S-E, but it's the word R-A-S-E. Raise it. And what they were saying in that, they were saying about Jerusalem, they were saying, tear it down, even to the foundations thereof. And I want to try to preach today on the subject of simply that, tear it all down. That's what they were saying, tear it all down. When they looked at Jerusalem and the children of Israel and God's chosen people, what they were saying and what they were crying out for was just to tear it all down. So I want to preach on that subject this morning with the help of the Lord, and I desire that you would pray as I tried to preach today. But first of all, let me point out in verse number 7, number 1, there's the call to tear it all down. That's what they said. Again, we'll read that verse. The Bible said, "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raise it, even to the foundation thereof." Now, the Edomites were not Israelites. They were a neighboring country. They were the next door neighbor to the nation of Israel. They are located on the southeast corner of the country. Today, it would be the land of Jordan. Today, if you looked on a map, it would be modern day, the Arab states would be on that side of Israel. And they were enemies of Israel. They wanted nothing more than to see Israel raised. And again, that word raise, it means to level with the ground. It means to overthrow, to destroy. It means to pass along the surface of something with a blade. And that's where we get our word razor from. You've seen the commercials, you know, that magnifies what the razor does, and it cuts off the hair, even with the skin. And that's what the Edomites were saying. They were saying, just take a blade, just take an instrument, and just destroy the whole thing. Just wipe it off the face of the earth. Totally do away with the nation of Israel. That was the cry that they had against the nation of Israel. Now, we might ask ourselves the question today, why did they hate Israel so much? And why did they have this animosity? I mean, there's a lot of nations in the world, and most nations do not call for the complete destruction and annihilation of another nation, although that still takes place today. And that's what they were crying out for. Why did they want to tear it all down? I want to give you some reasons quickly in this first point why they wanted to tear it all down, why they wanted to see it destroyed and annihilated. Number one, they wanted to tear down their religion. The Edomites wanted to tear down the religion of the Israelites. Now, if you know anything about your Bible and you know anything about history, you know that Israel was unique among all the other nations upon the face of the earth. Israel was different than all the other nations. Israel had a special relationship with Jehovah God that none of the other nations had. I mean, God had revealed Himself to the nation of Israel, and God had blessed them. And many times in their history, God had delivered them miraculously. God had guided them. God had given them victory over their enemies over and over and over again. And all of the nations around knew that there was something different about Israel, that Israel served and worshiped a God that they knew nothing about. And they knew that God had blessed them and God had given them great wealth. And you know, when a nation is blessed and has wealth and can boast of a special relationship with God, that makes the other nations jealous. You know, the Bible said, and we read it this morning in our devotional time, Psalms 33 and verse number 12, the Bible said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And so God puts His blessings upon the nation of Israel and all the other nations round about. They didn't have what Israel had. They had their own religion. They had their own gods, but Israel, over and over again, God had interceded on their behalf and delivered them from these heathen nations. And it made them jealous. And it made them hate the nation of Israel. They had God's presence. When they went into battle, when they went into when they were invaded, or they would go and invade another, or when they would even go and worship the nation of Israel, there was the Shekinah glory of God that hovered over their camp, guided them through the wilderness. I mean, none of the other nations had anything like that. They had God's presence. They had God's word. God had spoken to the nation of Israel. They had God's prophets. God had spoken to men and the women of the nation of Israel. And the Edomites, they had their idolatry and they hated that. They hated the nation of Israel. So when the opportunity came about, what they did was cry out, "Tear it down, tear it down, tear the whole thing down." You think we have any Edomites in our society in America today that feel the same way about our nation and our history and our heritage over and over again? In our country, we have the cry goes out, no prayer. No prayer. I believe it's 1964. The Supreme Court ruled and said no prayer in the public school. There is no precedent whatsoever. Up until that point in time, we had considered ourselves a Christian nation. There's nothing wrong. In fact, all schools had prayer, Bible reading, the Ten Commandments, the Pledge of Allegiance to one nation under God. But over and over, over the past 40, 50 years now, no prayer, no Bible reading, no public display of faith, no Ten Commandments on the courthouse lawn or hung in the courthouse, no Christianity, no Bible in the schools, no witnessing in the workplace. And over and over we hear this cry over and over again, get rid of that religion, get rid of Christianity. There's no call to get rid of Islam. There's no call to get rid of the New Age beliefs. There's no call to get rid of Buddhism or anything like that. But now this, that ought to be against the law. The Bible, Ten Commandments, the Christian flag. Great controversy in the past few years down in King, North Carolina about the Christian flag at the Veterans War Memorial and all these things. There's a cry coming out today. There's organizations that all they do is go around and try to get rid of a public display of faith. They wanted to get rid of their religion. They wanted to tear down not only their religion, they wanted to tear down their remembrance. Now, if you look in verse 1 of Psalms 137, the Israelites, as they were carried away into captivity, look what they said. They said, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion." They wanted to tear down their remembrance. When the children of Israel got down in Babylon and they're in captivity, when they remembered their great history, they wept when they remembered Zion. And boy, what a great history, what a great heritage that they had. I mean, you've all heard of that famous Edomite, haven't you? What was their name? You've never heard of them. But you've all heard of Adam, and you've heard of Noah, and you've heard of Moses, and you've heard of Abraham, and you've heard of Joseph, and you've heard of Jacob, and you've heard of Isaac, and you've heard of David, and you've heard of Joshua, and you've heard of Gideon and Samson, and oh, what a great heritage they had. What a great kingdom they had once upon a time. What a great country they had once upon a time. What great leaders, what great military they had once upon a time. When they got down there in captivity in that heathen land, they wept and they cried. When they remembered how great their nation used to be. Oh, they had a great history. Let me tell you something today. There's a reason why all of our holidays are not about what they were originally intended to be about, but now it's just all about money and fun. There are those that do not want you to be thankful at Thanksgiving, and that people came to this nation seeking their religious freedom. They just want you to be excited about eating turkey and watching football on TV. It's all part of getting us to forget how we got here and why we got here. Let's tear down our remembrance. Let's tear down our history. Let's tear down our heritage. Let's not think about Christmas being about Christ. Let's just think about it as a holiday where we give and receive gifts and don't mention Christ in public. That's what it's all about. President's Day is just to have a big car sale. Memorial Day is to kick off summer and have a barbecue. And July 4th is not Independence Day. It's just July 4th and it's all about fireworks and cooking out. There's a reason why there's so many people in our nation today that really have no idea why we celebrate the 4th of July on the 4th of July or what it means or what it's all about. Let's just tear down all of our remembrance and forget about our history and our heritage, and it is always under attack. Let's get rid of the Christian flag. That might offend somebody. When they first brought that up down in King, North Carolina, and you know, they had all the different flags of the different services. They had the Christian flag. They wanted to get rid of the Christian flag because that offended one person in town. What about all the men and women that went off to war? What about all the ones that died in the service of our country that when they went, they felt like they were doing service not only to their country, but they were doing what God wanted them to do. And they went away with the blessing of a praying daddy and mama and a church that loved them and prayed for them the whole time. What about them? But you know what happened? They lost the lawsuit. They took down the Christian flag. We don't want to see the Christian flag. And now you know what's going on in our country. They don't want to see the Confederate flag. That's part of our history. That's part of our heritage. And whether people like it or not, it is a fact of life that during the Civil War, over 600,000 people died as a result. Do you know that's more than World War I and World War II and the Vietnam War, and it divided our nation. But you know, the thing nobody mentions is that after the Civil War, our nation came back together. They got together at Gettysburg, the North and the South, and the Union soldiers and the Confederate soldiers, and they hugged and they shook hands and they ate together under both those flags. Nobody wants to talk about that. That Confederate flag actually is St. Andrew's Cross. It's actually a Christian flag. And it's actually, if you look at the nation of Scotland, has the same design. The reason they had that flag is because of the Scotch-Irish influence of the South. And that was who inhabited, that was who developed, that's who worked in the South. And it wasn't all about slavery to begin with. It was about states' rights. They don't want to talk about that. Just get rid of it. Do you know that's, they say get rid of it, it offends some people. Let me tell you what's going to be next is going to be the Bible. Because the Bible offends a whole lot more people than the Christian flag or a Confederate flag. Let me ask you this. There's more slavery under that flag, the United States of America flag, than there ever was under the Confederate flag. That'll be next. I mean, just stands to reason if we're going to get rid of everything that's ever been offensive in our history, we'll have to tear it all down and get rid of it. If that boy that shot those people, you know what bothers me? There's a lot that bothers me about that boy shooting those people. One thing that really bothers me that you don't hear mentioned very much is that he done that in a church. Nobody talks about that it was Christian people that met together and were studying the Word of God on a Wednesday night and praying and evidently had this stranger come in and he was there a long time. I'm sure they were nice to him, aren't you? He went in and killed people in a church. But you don't hear about it being in a church and being Christian people, but they want to get rid of everything. You know, if he was driving a Honda, shouldn't we get rid of Hondas? If he liked Coca-Cola better than Pepsi, shouldn't you get rid of Coca-Cola? I mean, what I'm saying this morning, where does it all end? If everything we don't like, if we can associate it with something that we don't like, do we tear it all down? That's the cry in our country today. Tear it all down. Get rid of all of it. They wanted to tear down their religion. They wanted to tear down their remembrance. They wanted to tear down their righteousness. Israel had laws that came directly from the mouth of God, written with the finger of God upon stone. Israel was different than the heathen countries. They had commandments. They had laws about worship and stealing and killing and adultery. And they had laws different from the other nations. They had a right and a wrong. Those Edomites hated God. And they hated God's righteousness. And so when they had the opportunity, they said, tear it all down. Tear it all down. We don't want to remember it. We don't want to see it anymore. Just tear it all down. There was the call to tear it all down. Number two this morning, there was the consensus to tear it all down. That's everybody agreeing together. If you study the Bible, you'll find that all through the Bible and all through history, there has been the cry from different groups to tear it all down. The Philistines in Israel, they had the same thing, tear it all down. The Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans. You come on in history, Germany. Poland, different nations tried to annihilate Spain, tried to annihilate and do away with the Jewish people altogether. There's always been a group that said, just kill them all. We don't want to hear about that God. We don't want to hear about these chosen people anymore. And it's the same way in our nation. There's a consensus today. Tear it all down. The atheists, tear it all down. The liberals, tear it all down. The higher, I refrain to call it higher education. There's a great lack of common sense among those that claim to be the smartest among us, but they're those that are way up in our land that just say, tear it all down. There's politicians that just, that their attitude and their actions is to tear it all down. Communism says, tear it all down. ISIS and the Muslims. Tear it all down. Activists all across our nation. We've seen this over the past several years. Something goes on in a community they don't like. Jump on the bandwagon, whether it's right or wrong. What do they say? We didn't like that. We're going to burn the town down. Going to burn the city down. Going to burn the businesses down. The consensus to tear it all down. And we see that happening over and over and over again. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 7, the Bible said your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. The strangers could not appreciate the God of Israel. The strangers do not understand the blessings of God upon a nation. The strangers among us, they do not appreciate what it means to have independence and liberty. And so we have a great multitude of people in our nation today that don't even understand where we came from. And their attitude is anything they don't like, tear it all down. Tear it all down. You wouldn't believe if you get on the internet and look at people that would say, well, I think we ought to get rid of the flag. I think we ought to do away with the Bill of Rights. I think we ought to change the Constitution. Just tear it all down. So a lot of people don't understand a lot of things. They would just have a consensus together to tear it all down. Number three this morning, there's the consequence of tearing it all down. Look in your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Now don't get nervous. I'm just preaching on 4 points and I'm already on number three. But there's the consequence of tearing it all down. And in 2 Chronicles chapter number 36, we have the account of the final captivity when the children of Israel were carried away into Babylon. The consequence of tearing it all down. 2 Chronicles chapter number 36. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 15. Look what the Bible says. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. It's saying here that over and over again, God sent His messengers to the nation of Israel. This year's my 25th year in the ministry. I've been preaching this same thing for years and years and years, and our nation just goes farther and farther away. But it's not because we shouldn't know any better. There's been a lot of preaching. There's been more preaching in America than any other nation on the face of the earth. And it is because that God has had compassion on His people. Look at verse 16. They mock the messengers of God and despised His words, and misused His prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against His people, till there was no remedy. There comes a point where there's no fix for it. There's no remedy. He said in verse 17, therefore He brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into His hand. There's the consequence of tearing it all down. Number one, our posterity is destroyed. That means your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And the first thing this heathen nation did when they destroyed Israel is that they slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary. They went right into the house of God and killed the young people. Boy, if there's not a comparison there between America and what's going on, the first thing the enemy knows that needs to be done is to destroy the young people. Kill the young generation. Destroy the youth. 50s, 60s, hippies, free love, rebellion, casting off, leaving church, forgetting about the Bible, the Word of God, all that stuff destroy the minds of the young people. Instead of prayer in school, let's have sex education in school. Let's destroy them morally. Destroy them mentally. Destroy them motivationally. Don't tell them America's worth living for, or dying for, or standing up for. Tell them our nation is evil and crooked, and it's just run by rich old white people that were atheists, and just tear it all down. It's no wonder we are the way we are in our nation. First thing they did, they destroyed the posterity. They killed the young men. They killed them in the sanctuary, in the church. Second thing, consequence of tearing it all down, they destroyed their past. Not only did they kill the young men, had no compassion on young man or maiden. Look what it says in verse 17. Old man or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into His hand. They destroyed their posterity. Then they destroyed their past by killing the old people. Killing their history. Killing their heritage. Destroying those that would stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls." But Israel said, "But we will not walk therein." Get rid of the old people. Get rid of their heritage. Get rid of the grandmas and the grandpas that would stand up and say, "Young people, what we really need to do is turn back to God." Once upon a time, prayer and clean living and walking with God, God blessed our nation. But get rid of our past. Get rid of our posterity. They got rid of and tore down the precious things. Look at verse 18. "And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king and his princes, all these he brought to Babylon." They tore down and got rid of all of the precious things. Do you know we've got some precious things in our nation that are continually under attack? They'd love to carry them away and bury them in a museum and get rid of them. We've got some precious things all throughout our history. You've got the influence of the Bible, the Word of God. There are those that want to tear it down, take it away. We have a constitution in our nation that is unlike any other nation in the world. We have a Declaration of Independence. We have a Bill of Rights. Our nation is different than all the other nations. These are precious things. But they'd love to tear it down and take it away. Get rid of patriotism. That means just a love of country. You know, after all this stuff has gone on in the past few weeks, I've got all kinds of patriotic ties and things that come across my mind. I'm not proud of my nation. I'm not proud of the direction that we're going in. I thought about, I'm not even going to wear a flag on July 4th weekend. But that's just exactly what people would like us to do. Just be like everybody else and just say, "Well, we don't like it either. Let's join in tearing it all down." Get rid of our Constitution. Get rid of our Bill of Rights. Get rid of our patriotism. There's some precious things our nation is built upon. Let's tear down the family. That's where we are. The family has been under attack for years and years and years. Let's kill the families. Tear them all apart. Let's get rid of the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's take that "under God" out of it. You know, it talks about one nation under God. We're no longer one nation under God. We are not united. We are divided. We're divided on everything. Don't you miss the good old days where you could go and buy donuts anywhere you wanted to and you didn't have to worry about making a political statement? Well, if you're conservative, you're supposed to buy your donuts at Dunkin' Donuts. And if you're not, you've got to go to Starbucks and have a scone. Now, anywhere you go, you got to have a voter guide. You got to have a list. I hate that. I just like the good old days where if you wanted to go to McDonald's, you'd go to McDonald's. You don't have to worry about who they're giving their money to or what it's going on. But our whole nation is divided. We're divided. We've tore it all down, tear down all the businesses, tear down all the precious things in our land, tear down the economy. Whatever you do, don't like anybody, don't love it. You know, you gotta take sides on everything. That's the devil. He wants to divide us 500 different ways before breakfast. We can't get along in our nation. We studied about that in our Sunday school time. Tear down the precious things. Tear down the pillars of society. Look at verse 19. And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. That is the pillars of society in verse number 19. They burnt the house of God. Tear down the churches. They destroyed the wall around Jerusalem. That made them unique. That made them different as a nation. That's their border. That's their military. That's their protection. That's what kept them from being invaded by the enemy. They tore the wall down. Our military's been torn all to pieces. All the top generals in the military in the past few years have been fired and replaced with somebody that believes and will go along with what the president wants. That's a fact. Tear down the military. Tear down the borders. Let anything come and go. They was worried yesterday about a terrorist attack. I watched that on the news. It's been higher than any time since 9/11, they said. But one man and then another all over the country, they said, we're afraid something's going to happen because people might have infiltrated our nation that hate us and want to harm us. Well, duh. Where'd they come from? Just walked across the border. Flew in on a plane. It's no wonder. There's an uproar yesterday. I met a man that killed a woman out in California, I believe it was. And he was supposed to have been, he was here illegally and they knew it. And they had arrested him and they'd let him go. And they'd said, well, the reason they let him go is because the police are not enforcing immigration policies. They're not sending those that are here illegally back across the border. Who told them not to do that? The president did. Amen. When you tear down the walls around the nation, you're going to have all kinds of trouble. They tore down the walls. I'm talking about the pillars of society, that which keeps us safe. They destroyed the palaces of the princes. That's where the leaders live. It's like the White House, like the Congress, like the Supreme Court. They tore down and they burnt all the places like that. It's become a joke in our society. More people fear the government than respect it. Most people believe that our leaders lie to us all the time. And that you don't really have a choice for one way or the other when you actually go to vote. That they're all just the same. Lying politicians. What's the use? What's the use? Tear it all down. It's a big joke. Like this thing about the Supreme Court and passing down the ruling on marriage. And then right behind that, there's a great call in our land to pass another law called the Pastors Protection Act. In case there's pastors that say, well, I'm not going to marry two homosexuals so I don't get sued, they want a law to protect the pastors. Isn't it a bad law when you pass one law and you have to immediately pass another law to protect this group from that group? Wouldn't common sense tell you there's something wrong with that? That's where we are. Tear it all down. Tear down the whole of society. There's a consequence to tearing it all down. I want you to look in your Bibles in the book of Isaiah. Chapter number 64. I want to read one verse. Isaiah chapter 64. There's a consequence of tearing it all down. Can you forgive me? There's a consequence when we've tore it all down and thrown it all to the ground. Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 11 said, our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praise thee is burned up with fire. And all our pleasant things are laid waste. When we've torn it all down as a nation and we turn around and look at what we've got, good God, we've destroyed ourselves. We have destroyed our own nation. Just torn it all down. Boy, that won't offend nobody. We don't want to offend nobody. Just get rid of the flag, get rid of patriotism, get rid of Christianity, get rid of the Bible. But in the Bible they said, our beautiful house where our fathers praised and worshiped, it's all burned up. It's all gone. It's all destroyed. Isn't that a sad picture this morning? But that's where we're headed. It's going to tear it all down. But I'm afraid when we get done, we look around. All that's left is waste. All that's left is desolation. And all that our fathers have built and worked and prayed and labored for, it's all going to be gone. Because we don't want to offend nobody. That's where we're headed as a nation. There's one last thing I'll quickly show you. It's the condition of tearing it down. Look in Jeremiah chapter number 18. There's the condition of tearing it all down. Let me tell you this morning, it's not up to the White House whether it gets all tore down or not. It's not up to the Supreme Court of the United States whether it gets all torn down or not. But in Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 6, the Bible said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up, and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. We will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. God said to the nation of Israel, he said, if you will turn from your evil ways, I'll turn from the evil I said I would bring against you. But they said, there's no hope in that. We're going to do what we want to do. Then the last verse there, verse number 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. The condition of tearing it down is not up to the government. It's up to us. Because we are the government. That's how the Declaration of Independence starts out. We the people. It's up to us. Now we look around, we see it already today. Just about all torn down. What remains to be seen if we'll just give in, go with the flow? Or there'll be some that'll come along, some young people, even in these last days, say, I don't like what I see. I don't want it to be torn down. I want to do something to build it up. Good Lord, everybody's tearing everything down. I want to be somebody that says, you know, it's not going exactly like I like it to go, but I sure don't want to tear it down. I want to try to build it up. I don't want to tear the church down. I want to build it up. I don't want to tear the Bible down. I don't want to tear young people down. I want to do everything I can to build them up and to encourage them. If there'd be some people that come along with that attitude, I think it would make a difference. The Bible said, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, heal their land. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. I'd like for the ladies to come.